The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, can you hear me? Dusty's microphone apparently is D-E-D dead. Just pull one around from the other side and utilize that one, Dusty. Grab the one in front of you with your left hand.
One second.
Oh, that does not sound good at all.
All right, we're good.
There we go. See, somebody always messes with the board at night. We've been dealing with this for years. Who comes in and messes with things? What was on this weekend that people needed to touch knobs for, right? We weren't carrying a playoff game. We didn't have any baseball this weekend, did we? Was there a Royals game this weekend that I missed out on?
It is what it is. Happy Monday. Welcome back to everything that is important. Now the Chiefs week starts. Now the preparation for a game starts. But before we get into that, we can dive into which was the weekend of the wild card. Obviously, no Chiefs game. We got to sit back and relax and have a stressless weekend. Didn't have to watch much. Was a good time this weekend watching meh, which is fine. In our group text that we have with everybody that works here, plus a few other guys that are involved, thought it was interesting. Main takeaway this weekend from some was that the NFL is a bad product that is marketed well. I'm sure you will hear that on the drive. And then you had the other guy who is a sourpuss about the Cincinnati Bengals not being in the playoffs, who said that college football is the same as the NFL. I disagree.
Well, the first round of the playoffs in college football weren't great. The first round in the NFL weren't great until last night. If you're just waking up, maybe you went to bed early and you didn't miss the Washington football team winning on a doink last night, right? Where's all the criticism of them? Oh, they only won on a doink and whatnot, like the Chiefs did. But it was the first round of the postseason. The only time a 7 team's beaten a 2 since this format has started in 2020, I think, was like Dallas losing as a 2 seed, if I'm not mistaken, to Tampa as the 7 seed. So it hasn't happened a lot, but you know, we had football all weekend long, and you may not have loved the games. They may not have been as competitive as you have wanted, but hey, that's what it is. It's the NFL. Things like this tend to happen. And you know what? I kind of like the way the outcome played out this weekend. I like the fact that the Chargers went and took a dump. I like the fact that we're getting the Houston Texans. I like the fact that Baltimore and Buffalo get the opportunity to do battle before the winner has to come here to Kansas City. And I love the way that it ended last night with the Washington football team showing you how ownership really does matter. And when you have competent owners, you can do some really good things in the NFL. And the Washington football team got a big win last night, obviously, over a Tampa team. So I thought the weekend was fine. I mean, I don't know what your expectations were for wild card weekend. If you weren't excited about wild card weekend, I don't know what your expectations were, but I had football this weekend. I didn't have to stress this weekend, and I thought it was fantastic.
I mean, everybody in the AFC won. That was, you know, the home team.
Yeah, it was chalk for the most part. And now, you could even say Washington's chalk because they were a better record than the Tampa Bay football
team. And I will say, like, I thought, I mean, sorry, I'm not perfect. I thought the Chargers were going to win that game. I looked at both rosters. I looked at where both teams had been. I looked at the situation they were currently in, and I was wrong. And, you know, I was wrong because
Herbert, pump, throw, intercepted. Eric Murray, pick six, touchdown, Texans.
That man, Justin Herbert, now owns a scarlet letter.
Mm-hmm.
And that scarlet letter is he's a different quarterback in the playoffs. Now, I know his sample size is small, but that was playoff game number two. Kind of the same thing. I mean, DeMeco Ryans outcoached Jim Harbaugh. And what I mean by that is he knew what to do defensively against Herbert's offense and offensively against Harbaugh's offense. Because what does Jim Harbaugh like to do? Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, then throw. They were up 6-0. Herbert was cooking. Ladd McConkey was probably the best thing that happened this week.
Yeah. I mean, he was great.
He had 197 yards, yep, most ever by a rookie in the playoffs in the history of the NFL. Fantastic showing for him. And Herbert threw four interceptions, and he threw three all year, and that was like the laughing stock of everything for the rest of the day, mm-hmm, was that he threw more interceptions in that playoff game than he had thrown the entire year of 2024. And again, I think the one thing that goes back to it that I think we all have to remember is, one, yes, Dusty Likens here on Fesco and Dusty picked the Chargers to win. Sorry. Two, I think you have to understand how important home games are in the playoffs. And Houston rested everybody in week 18. They had a home game to wait for. They had the bye. There was no rust. And they went out there, and defensively, that defensive line ate the life out of the offensive line for the Chargers. And the game was over after the Chargers scored first, because then Houston went on and scored 20 unanswered.
Well, and I texted you guys about that right away. When they settled for that early field goal, I said, boy, you settle for field goals when you're dominating like that, you're probably not going to have the outcome that you want in a game. And that game script was written right away when I thought when San Diego settled for that field goal early on. They go up 3-0, then it's 6-0, whatever the case may be. And I'm just like, man, when you start settling for field goals, you're not going to win football games, especially in the playoffs. And that's why it's so important to convert on those red zone opportunities. And, you know, we've seen the Chiefs do this over the years. And because everybody plays them competitively, though, you feel like you're dominating for an entire quarter, a half, you know, three quarters of a game. And you look up at the scoreboard and it's a one score game, or the other team is still in this thing. And you're thinking to yourself, man, we have gone out there and we've dominated, but we haven't put up the points on the scoreboard. And when you settle for field goals, you're settling for losses. And that's essentially what happened to the Chargers over the weekend. And then Justin Herbert took over, and the Houston Texans defense took over, and they made Justin Herbert look like the quarterback that he is, a very nice regular season quarterback. But until he does something in the postseason, if I'm the Chargers right now, I'm thinking, do we have the right guy under center? Because we have two playoff experiences now for Justin Herbert, and both of them have been pretty miserable playoff experiences, blowing that lead that they had down in Jacksonville. And then the four interceptions the other day, three of them are on him. The one that was tipped to number 81 or whoever the hell it was that, you know, knocked the ball up in the air and ended up being a pick six almost, you know, for the Chargers over the weekend. But still, you go down to four interceptions, you've got to be better than that. It's all about how good your quarterback plays in the postseason. And if your quarterback is turning it over like it's nobody's business, like Justin Herbert did, then you're not going to win many games. And when you settle for field goals in the postseason, you're not going to win many games. Go ask Bill O'Brien when he settled for a field goal here to go up 24-0 instead of trying to punch it in and go up 28-0. Field goals don't win games for you in the postseason. And when you settle for those field goals and when you settle for three, you're ultimately settling for a loss. And so that's why it's important this weekend when you're looking at the Chiefs going against the Houston Texans, field goals aren't going to cut it. You've got to find a way to get it into the red, to the end zone. And that's why that red zone offense is going to be so important for the Chiefs this weekend.
Yeah, obviously you cleared the protocol. They get their two big stars back. Meanwhile, there goes Henry. There goes Henry all the way for the touchdown. 44 yards.
So, Sam, if you've seen this before, Derrick Henry starting off hot in the playoffs. I've got a good feeling if the Chiefs handle business on Saturday, I assume that they will probably play the Ravens. I think that that's just where we've been since week one. It was foreshadowed. The toe out of bounds. But again, same story for Pittsburgh once again in the playoffs. That game, I didn't watch any of it. In fact, I ended up watching the Whale instead of watching that game once I saw like all this type of just dominance. You didn't need to watch that game to know how that game was going to turn out. We thought there might be a glimmer of hope on Friday that maybe Pittsburgh could carry that domination they've had over Baltimore in the playoffs 3-1. Yeah, I don't think so. I think Pittsburgh's got a lot a lot to do in the offseason because it's the same story, just a different year for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, and it has nothing to do with their head coach. They need a new quarterback, and they need to trade George Pickens. And those two things got to be top of the mind. You can't bring Russell Wilson back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know that you can bring Russell Wilson back to anybody right now in the NFL with the way that he's played. So you need to potentially fire the general manager in Pittsburgh, too, because this is the guy who's bringing in all the talent that Mike Tomlin has to go out there and coach. And there's so many stories this morning about how he's not going to go anywhere, Tomlin, that is, in Pittsburgh, and they want to bring him back and whatnot. I'm still calling Pittsburgh if I've got a coach opening right now. If I'm the Jets, if I'm the Raiders, if I'm whoever right now, I'm calling Pittsburgh to find out, what the asking price would be on Mike Tomlin, because it does feel like maybe there does need to be a change there, but not because Mike Tomlin is doing anything wrong, because if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm looking to get out. I'm waving my hands up and I'm going, look, man, I don't know what more you want me to do. I've won with Duck Hodges. I've won with Mason Rudolph. I've won with Ben Roethlisberger. I've won with Justin Fields. I've won with Russell Wilson. And then you get me to the postseason and I don't stand a chance, but I've cleaned up during the regular season. There's got to be roster moves made in Pittsburgh. They need a quarterback and they need to trade George Pickens. And if they don't do those two things in the offseason, they're not going to be able to get over this hump.
Yeah, I mean, agree to disagree. I think there's, a little bit of both on everything. I think the GM is obviously probably less ranked than Mike Tomlin, even though you wouldn't see that in, the way that NFL franchises are ran. Obviously, GM is right basically below owner and team president. But you look at the history of Pittsburgh, and it's not good. We can dive into that a little bit later as well. But yeah, like you said, I mean, I don't know if I could trade George Pickens, but if he's a complete cancer problem, then yeah, there's
Chiefs
one
traded
of
Tyreek Hill and made out all right with it.
And
that's the way you have to look at it as well. You've got to say to yourself, look, is George Pickens helping this organization move forward, or is he just going to be one of these chronic complainers? And it appears that he's a good football player, but also a chronic complainer. I mean, even after the game, he's talking about it yesterday or Sunday or Saturday, I guess it was. Do you see optimism moving forward? He answers no. Well, if that's the case, man, I'm looking for a haul for George Pickens. I'm trying to make my Tyreek Hill trade if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers with George Pickens to get picks back in return, because you're not going to win with George Pickens alone. You need to upgrade that team. You need to upgrade that quarterback position. And if George Pickens can bring you a haul and you can get your Trent McDuffie type of player by trading George Pickens, then by all means, you go ahead and do that.
I only wanted to play that because I wanted to give myself and Matt credit, because we said Friday that would probably be the most interesting game of the weekend, and it was.
Yeah, I think I even said to you guys, I said, I'm not interested in this game, but it'll be the best one, and it ended up being by far the best game of the weekend, and I think Jaden Daniels really showed up big, obviously. I mean, he was fantastic over the weekend. He did an unbelievable job late in the game. 4:41, I think, was the time they took over with the football left in the game. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers never got the ball back again. That's winning football right there. That's how you win games. That's how you secure the bag. You go out there, you take over that football with 4:41 to go, and you don't give it back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What a great job by the Washington football team. But again, it goes to show you change ownership, you get good leaders, you can do good things, because that was their first playoff win since 2005 that they finally won a postseason game. And what's been the biggest change? Dan Snyder finally got out of the way, and they have ownership in there that is allowing their team to play, that is allowing their team to have success, and is putting their people in position to be successful. Ownership changes immediately afterwards. They win 13 games. They win their first playoff game in 20 years, and they've changed that franchise dramatically, and it's all because of what they've done with ownership, and it's all trickled down from there. Congratulations to the Washington football team. Man, that was a hell of a win on the road last night. And Jaden Daniels may have played the best of any quarterback this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe. Allen was good. Lamar was great.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels was good.
Daniels was fantastic.
He
man.
Played with all the heart he had. I mean, at one point he was bleeding from the face. He was getting launched out of bounds.
As Collinsworth said, if that's not a quarterback, we're not showing that cut.
Obviously, why would? Because
if it's a tiny little cut, it was not that big a deal. I mean,
no, but it was on the face of your team. Like, that's the quarterback.
That's right.
Like,
yeah. If it was an offensive lineman,
But that's obvious. Like, why would you not bring that? I mean, it's the quarterback. It's the most important player on the field.
I mean, let's not act like he had an arm hanging off. He had like a zit that popped, and that was that. So,
I would disagree with the zit, but yeah. I would say that this weekend wasn't boring because the text says, show the same energy you had for college football being boring. I wasn't bored. There were just better teams that won. College football, there's like two athletes on one team every time I watch it other than Oregon or Ohio State or those type of teams. So, yeah, the same energy's not there.